I hear the music, and it is time for another edition of Wheel Travel, the podcast. I am your host, Jason Cobb, out here at the compound, and I am joined by none other than Josh Cobb. How are you, buddy?
Good. Tired. Just came off of a spring break week, which was not really spring break, but work, and more work. This whole adult thing, I don't like it. Can I go back?
I think there's a way to go back. It's you saw it on a movie with Tom Hanks one time. That was the opposite, which has kind of been your whole life. You kind of been the kid early.
I was big.
You were the boy man boy.
Yes.
Child, whatever they say.
Yeah. I think I saw a Craigslist ad in the personals or something.
That is tough. You know, you've always been around older people your whole life, and you've always had a lot of responsibility thrown on you that most 25-year-olds don't have thrown on them, let alone as a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old or now an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
All right. So, you holding up?
You. What's going on with you?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you've been dragging your feet lately. Come on, you look like a mess, quite honestly. Your hair's not done. Yeah, you haven't done your hair in like a week.
Well, I've given up.
I can see that.
Gold Rush is over.
Oh my God.
And Todd announced that he's not coming back next season. And
are you serious? Todd's not coming back?
Not coming back.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's moved on to his new media thing. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think there's a better media thing than... You know, then, 2 hours of television time a week.
Discovery Channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, this juggernaut called the Discovery Channel that you want to get off of as soon as you can. No, and I've been sick. I've been sick ever since we got back. But that was kind of a trip. So, as you know, I had a checkup on Monday and for all that other stuff that happened in the past. And that comes through with flying colors. The AIDS, the HIV. And that comes through with flying colors, so we think. And I get my... I can't ever keep them straight if it's a PET scan or a CT scan or an MRI.
When you say flying colors, I mean, like, we just brought up the whole AIDS thing. And
I'm flying the rainbow
colors.
That's
what comes to mind when you say that we're flying the colors. Does that mean you're positive?
In that case, a negative is not a good thing, because you want to be, you know, if you're flying the colors,
no,
the rainbow,
you want to be negative.
I don't know. Isn't it like a badge of honor?
A badge of honor.
I don't know. Either way, I don't have the HIV, and
for all
as of right now,
spreading
I'm
spreading Christmas cheer.
I don't have cancer, everything's going well on that end of it, but. So they want to figure out what this growth is in my lung, and so they give me another scan. We go back in, we take a look at it. When I get done with this respiratory specialist, she says, "Have you ever had a flu shot?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because I don't need them. I don't get sick." And she said, "Well, I'm going to recommend that you get one, and I'm also going to recommend that you get a pneumonia shot. Because apparently I have some scarring in my lung from some pneumonia that went untreated or something. I don't know. Anyway, so...
Hold on. Pneumonia that went untreated and nothing ever happened with it.
Right.
Weird. Then they give you a shot for it.
Right.
And carry on.
So, she says, I'm strongly going to recommend that you do this. And I said, well... I don't get sick, and she said, yeah, you said that, but it's flu season, and we're on our second lap of flu, and I really am going to urge you strongly. Okay, I'll do it. So I normally, at cancer treatment centers, I have done absolutely everything that they've asked of me every time, and they've been spot on, and I cannot argue with the results. They've been phenomenal to deal with. So my boy Jesus comes in. He has two shots, one for my left arm, one for my right. As he's administering the one on the right First of all, it burns like a mother.
AIDS.
I guess I didn't realize that AIDS burned like that. But and that was the flu shot, and I'm like, holy crap. I've never had a shot burn me the way that one did. And I'm very, very tolerant. I have a very, excuse me, high threshold of pain. It really stung. I mean, really, really hard. And then as I sat there for a second, I said to him, I'm like, hey, man, I can actually feel that going into, like, my body. I can go, I could feel my spine getting tight, and I could feel it going into my body. And before I walked out of that place, I got another shot, my pneumonia shot in my left arm. No problems there. By the time I stood up, I got my discharge papers, and I walked outside. I had full-fledged, full-on flaming flu. And I don't know if it's because they injected me with it. I don't know what it was. But I come home, and that was at 11 o'clock, 11:30.
Right.
My phone is ringing off the hook. I leave everyone alone. I come in. I lay down. I sleep until 6 o'clock at night. I had a little flu, and then I slept all night long. So, I mean, I basically slept for 18 hours or something like that. So, I get up in the morning.
Just so you know, you look like you just got up from that nap, like a couple days ago.
I look rough. I feel rough. Every day is a struggle.
Oh, you should. You're old.
Yeah, I am.
What are you now, 47?
48? 8 now.
48.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, as of a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Had your birthday at the Mint.
Anyway, so I get up, and on Tuesday, and what do I say to you? Take me to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
but something good did come out of that. First time eating Arby's.
Yeah, that is true.
That was good.
I had the HIV and Arby's in the same day. It was like a great day. No, Arby's is good.
Arby's is good.
Yeah.
That might be my new place.
Seriously?
I mean, there's not one down there, but down there, you got Taco Bell or Panda.
In the valley?
In the valley.
Where you go and where all your peeps are?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so I've been fighting this ever since, and that's kicked my ass. And then I think a lot of it, you know, it's depression because of the Gold Rush thing. And I have kind of put eyeballs on this Gold Rush Whitewater with Dustin and his old man that used to be on Gold Rush. They're quite a trip to watch. It's actually pretty bizarre. He's figured out where this bend in this creek is, where there technically should be a big deposit of gold. So they're diving down in this whitewater creek trying to find gold, and it's pretty crazy. I don't know how I got on this crap, but it's I don't know, it's compelling to me. And something about watching a guy run a dozer is, I can do that all day long. I don't know why.
You need to lay off the Discovery Channel for a while.
No, I don't think so. I think I need more of it. Naked and Afraid, they seem to be blurring out less. You know, we're actually seeing.
Eventually, you're hoping that the editor missed a boob or something.
I watched that thing in slow motion all day long, just trying to find a glimpse of something,
frame by frame.
Yeah, exactly. There it is. I see it. Oh wait, that's
a patch of dirt.
That's a patch of dirt. That's something that hasn't been washed off in a long time. So. I do like when they let the mud be the tile, when they tile out the butt. Well, when they're really muddy, they don't even worry about it. They're just like, ah, there it is. So, anyway, what are you watching these days?
The Office. Well,
you have found The Office.
I have found The Office, and it is friggin' hilarious. The only bad part is that it was like really funny, really funny, really funny, and then, you know, it just kind of tapered off. I'm on the final season now.
Do you know what it means when I say, have they jumped the shark? Do you know what that means?
I think that was in an episode.
No, I'm not talking about an episode called Jump the Shark. I'm talking about, that's a term in movie producing and shows and stuff like that. Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. So it actually comes from Happy Days. And Happy Days, for all of you young listeners out there, was this great show with Henry Winkler and Ron, what the hell is Ron's name?
Anyway.
Ron Cunningham.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, it was about the Fonz and all this stuff. So he's this hoodlum who's living in suburbia America with this white family who's as, you know, clear cut and as white as can be, right?
Right.
Freckles and doing homework and part of the basketball team.
Come here, Billy.
Yeah, and... that's right. Exactly. So, so they have this, this one section where at the end, people were going off. Richie goes off to college.
Yeah.
And they're losing viewership. And so what do they do? But they get the Fonz on the beach in his leather jacket. And he cannot turn down a challenge. And somebody double dares him to jump the shark on water skis. And, of course, you know, Ralph Malph and Potsy and all those guys are there to cheer him on. And he ends up jumping the shark on a set of water skis. And since, you know, basically they canceled Happy Days the next day, basically, right?
Right.
They had finally gone. It seemed like a bridge too far with the hoodlum with a leather jacket living in, with this white family. But now he's jumping a shark in a leather jacket, in shorts.
Right.
You know, he built his motorcycle blind one time. Anyway, sorry for all the coughing, guys. But anyway, so that term became jumping the shark. So once a show gets bigger than itself and then it starts to fall off, they try to do something to bring back one last ditch effort to keep it alive, and that's called jumping the shark.
Yeah. I don't know. They lost Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And then everything just kind of went downhill from there.
Right.
And that was pretty much it. I mean, I'm on the last season. I'm gonna
hard to believe that show without him.
Right. I'm going to finish it up, but just to see what happens. I figured I got this far.
Yeah.
But, the Grand Tour. I need to catch up on that.
I need to get started on that.
Yes. You need to watch it from the beginning, from last season, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Just start watching it, dude.
Pretty amazing. I've seen, you know, obviously every week you call me over and go, hey, look at this, or hey, watch that. Or,
yeah,
hey,
and you see a segment of it that I think is
The photography is phenomenal. I'm just blown away by the budget those guys must have to shoot this thing.
Oh, my God. Especially when they're like, oh, here's an airport right now, like an active airport. Let's go do a lap.
Right,
you know?
Let's just shut her down for a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when
they seem to have... like martial law. They seem to just be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah. Hey, how much is it to rent out the runway for a day?
Right.
Oh, you can't do that. How much?
And that's Amazon money, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Which is weird because, I don't know, I heard something somewhere about how, like, they haven't made a profit yet or something.
But... well, okay. So what that is, they have now, but as of, like, a year ago, they hadn't. And you think about how long Amazon has been this monster, this big machine.
Right.
Well, what that's all about is Amazon, they even said this to their investors. You know, they said, look, we're going to just, the second we start generating revenue, we're going to start gobbling up everything in sight. And we're not going to make any money. We're just going to buy.
Yeah.
And that's what they've been doing. So it's kind of on schedule, but it's a real interesting business model.
Right, because if it tanks, you're screwed.
right. And you've taken a lot of companies with you,
right,
you know, that you bought up.
So. Yeah.
But it seems to be working, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon.
No. That's about it, other than Supercross.
Yeah, I never see you sit down and watch TV. I mean...
no, I don't. I mean, like, I fall asleep to it. That's about it.
So when I walk in at 3 o'clock in the morning to your room and your TV's on and you're sound asleep and the office is on.
Yeah.
And you bought those?
No.
What are you watching on?
It's Netflix.
Okay.
You pay.
I bought those.
Yeah, you bought those.
Yeah.
It's $9.99 a month, no matter how much you watch.
Okay, so that episode that you're sleeping through is not costing me anymore?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then carry on. Nice job.
Okay.
Why don't you have a timer on your TV?
I do.
Why don't you use it?
I thought it did.
Turn off?
Every morning when I wake up, it's off.
Hey, did you get the new Supercross game?
I did.
And?
It's a lot better than I expected. Yeah.
Pull your mic close to you if you're going to keep moving backwards.
Sorry. It's a lot...
I know it's your first time. Don't be nervous.
Right. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It's... I don't know. I just wish there was, like, more you could do on it. I mean, because it's... You get, you know, these... How many Supercross tracks are there?
Well, there's 16 races a year.
Then you get 16 Supercross tracks. They're coming out with a Monster Energy Cup deal. They're coming up with, like, a My Compound thing. But I just feel...
The Cobb Compound? That's pretty cool. We've made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When will we start seeing royalties?
I still feel like the game wasn't ready for release yet. It was, oh my God, we told them this was coming out, you know, now. Send it
that
out.
Sounds like every race we've ever been to.
Right.
oh crap, they're not going to move the race for us. We got to just show up now.
Right. And it's a lot like that. Every time I go to play it, it seems like there's an update, and they've fixed, you know, 20 things with the game.
Yeah. Hey, stop.
But overall, it is a blast. I think I'm going to bring it out here one night, because I've got another controller, and you and I can play, and we can build tracks and whatever. The track editor is cool.
Where were you when I was sick and flat on my back? That would have been great to do.
Oh, I was in Havasu.
Oh, all right. Well, more for later. Well, yeah. So that's with me. What are you listening to these days?
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just keep waiting for that new Tool album. That's all my life is about. Is that
do
new
you ever
Tool
go
album.
On YouTube?
What is that? No. I think I go on YouTube quite a bit.
How often?
Well, I think somebody's sending me something every day, and I think...
What are you typically looking at on YouTube?
Whatever somebody sent me.
Oh, okay.
Or a reference to something, you know, like, hey, didn't that guy have Fox Shocks on that car before? Now it's got Kings, and when was that at? Or
yeah. Adam Jones has an update on the Tool album almost every week. Nice throw. There's an update on that new album just about every week, or at least a couple times a month.
And what's the update? Give me the...
I don't know. I didn't see the last one.
Oh, shoot.
Last time I heard, they're working on putting music or putting vocals to the music.
The music's been done a while, and now Maynard's putting the lyrics together.
Yeah.
And he never builds... I watched, actually, this is probably the last thing I saw on YouTube was a... Maynard was on with Joe Rogan again, and he was talking about the songwriting process, and you know, he said, hey, do you have a bunch of set of lyrics? And goes, well, this one fits with a Pussifer song, and this one fits with a Perfect Circle, and this one fits with Tool. He said, no, I listen to the music, and then I start writing. I never force anything into something pre-existing.
Right? Yeah.
So, I could see where it'd be a slow process, but it's... you know, I'm excited. That's for sure. And it's long overdue. But isn't there... There's some new A Perfect Circle material.
Yeah, there's a new A Perfect Circle out. And I think there's like 3 songs off their new album. Or I don't know if they're all singles or whatever. But they've released 3 new songs so far.
Nice.
And they're all right. Old Perfect Circle is better.
Yeah, what I heard was not great, but...
which is what makes me scared for the new Tool album.
I think that's... Tool is not afraid to experiment, but they're not afraid to experiment inside what they do. Where I think A Perfect Circle, and especially Pussifer, has so many faces that they just continually are experimenting with, you know, throw enough crap up on the wall, eventually something's going to stick, right?
Right.
So what makes me interested about it is the fact that they, I think they, what they put out early stuck to the wall, and now it seems like they're trying to scrape it off, you know? So I don't know if I like that, because I love, like you said, you know, older Perfect Circle, and obviously the original Pussifer stuff was fantastic. And they've...
Do you know what's funny? So Pussifer and A Perfect Circle started out great, have gotten Tool, okay, and then got better, and then their latest album, which was 10,000 Days.
Which was 10,000 days ago.
Right. Well, has anyone...
done the math?
There's no way. There's
10,000 days is a long time.
Yeah, but 365... what is that, like... you know, whatever years. So...
well, 10 years would be 3,650 days, right? That'd be 10 years?
Yeah.
So, you're talking about 30 years? 10,000 days?
What? No, you just...
do the math.
Oh, okay.
You have a calculator?
Yeah, my phone's right here.
Too bad there wasn't a small box that had a bunch of information, a bunch of capabilities in it, that you were able to figure that out on your own.
Twenty-seven years.
I was way off with 30. So, maybe we're waiting for that.
Yeah, he's going to release it 27 years later. Want to talk about the Mint?
Sure. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, yeah, you and me both. But I'd really like to go back to the beginning of lap two. That'd be fantastic.
Well, let's talk about the lead up to the Mint. Right? We were getting four trucks ready. Lewis was getting a fifth truck ready.
For us. Yeah.
And we had amazing amount of rentals. We had amazing amount of entries. We had two guys that didn't start the race. Bum me out about the Spitfire guys. They didn't realize that there had been a change. So they got to contingency and they decided that they were not going to participate in the shenanigans because they weren't in for the points title. They asked if we would just... excuse me, look the other way and allow them to run with the general tires and the BFGs or and the methods that they had on there, and said absolutely not. Yokohama was the wheel, and Yokohama was the tire, and Ultra was the wheel, and it is what it is. We're very proud of those partnerships, and we wanted to make sure that you know, anybody running in the class, and they were having none of it. So they ran in class 3000.
Yep.
And then there's another idiot that I will not name on here, who was a no-show. And I'm not necessarily calling the truck owner the idiot, but one of the guys affiliated with the program is a dumbass. And he is a liar, and I'm not going to even give him the time of day on this program. So anyway, we'll leave that at that. But so Monday night... you and Jeff tell me I've got to drive all night long, and I took basically the engine and the electrical for four vehicles over to Darren, yep. And we had to recreate the ECU on your truck for these four vehicles.
Right.
Stay the night out on the street in Compton, California. I wake up.
Ugh.
I slept for about 38 seconds. I wake up, I look over, and there's a black guy looking through the window. Not like peering through, but like standing 2 feet away from the door watching me sleep. which made me very uncomfortable. And then I asked for his number, but it was quite an experience. And then I was there all day with Darren.
Yes.
At R&D Dino. And thank you for your hard work, Darren. And lo and behold, we came back with four trucks that ran really, really well. And we made it to the show. That was, we went straight from, that was Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday. We got here, we loaded up, and we left. We got there Wednesday sometime, and it all kind of blurred together after that. It was very crabby, very.
That was crazy.
Very grumpy.
Yes, you were.
But it was a great time. Our rental people are the friggin' best.
Oh, yeah.
I had a blast. Their energy and their excitement. I'm so sorry, guys. Their excitement was just amazing.
Well, it's cool because, I mean, we've been doing this for a few years now, and every time, we got some behind the scenes shenanigans going on over here.
He threw a golf tee in my eye.
Do you remember our first race together, 1600 car? How excited was everybody? How amped up were we? How nervous and excited were we to get to the start line? And
all I know is I did not want to ride with you.
Yeah.
I was scared to death to ride with this 14-year-old kid in this 1600 car. And by the middle of the second lap, I never wanted it to end. And by the end of the third lap, I couldn't believe the race was over already. Yeah. And I haven't ridden with you since.
You did a lap around Geyser with me. And we never got above 30 miles an hour.
Not with my eyes open, I did not.
But, I mean, it's their first race.
But it's not for Travis.
No.
Travis Williams comes from a trick truck with Jesse Jones.
Yeah, but he never drove, did he?
Oh, yeah.
He did?
Absolutely.
Oh.
On the longer stuff, he had a chance to drive. So, and he had the time of his life.
Yeah.
He bought one. He came home and bought one.
Yeah.
Right? He ordered a new truck.
Yep.
And Teresa, excuse me, she comes home, and right away, the first text to me is, I'm hooked, I'm addicted, what's it going to cost to do the rest of the season? You know?
Yep.
So, stuff like that is really cool. Look at Mike West. You know, Mike West goes and does Parker after having a bitchin' 10 car.
He had one of the best class 10 cars out there.
Yep. Comes home from, and drives with the 10 car in the garage, mind you.
Yes.
Drives a trophy light. It doesn't finish the race, and he comes home and buys a trophy light.
Yeah, he bought
Sandy Schwab's.
Really? That's
yes.
A name I haven't heard.
Sandy Schwab.
In a long yeah. time.
Which, of course, is with Schwab Financial and all that stuff. That's
yes.
the son of. But, and most people don't know this, he's actually the funding, the money behind Brenthal. So
Schwab is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really?
Yep. Yep. And they those knuckleheads at Brenthal, they destroyed this truck. They called us for all the steering parts and everything. We put a price list together, and then they just started welding on their own stuff everywhere. So a lot of the front of the truck's got to be cut off. But and poor Mike didn't know that.
More work for us.
Yay! everybody goes, well, you must be making great money, but no, Jeff's probably just breaking even, and you know, I know he's trying to keep all of our trophy light guys happy and keeping it cheap for those guys, so you know, no, nobody's making money. for those of you guys who don't know, the Mint 400 is run in two races. They run the limited classes in the morning, and they run the trick truck, 6100, 7200, 1500, which is class one or the unlimited cars, 6200. They run those guys in the afternoon. They actually had a little rain, which would have made for a great race. I did not stick around for it. I went home and went to bed.
But, yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
The I sat in post-race tech for 4 hours by myself waiting for all these guys to post-race tech them.
What did you tech?
We checked the transmission as far as three forward gears and reverse. So there was concern that some people were running two-speed transmissions to lighten them up internally. Mm-hmm. And so our first six guys definitely had three-speed transmissions.
Good for them.
Which would have been, you know, how about Craig Spitz finally coming through?
Oh.
He doesn't win his hometown race. Now, I got a question to ask you. And you might know the answer to this since you just spent the weekend with him. But would he rather have won the Mint or his hometown race of Parker? He led both. He won the Mint. Would he give up his Mint 400 win to win Parker? And his truck's for sale. I think Parker means more to him than the Mint.
I do. I think you're right. Parker does mean more to him than the Mint. But does Parker mean more to him than the 50th anniversary of the Mint? The biggest Mint so far.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. I think no. I think Parker, for me, I'll tell you right now, I've won Parker three times. I would still rather win Parker than the Mint. However, I truly do want to say I won the Mint to add it to my resume. It's one of the few that I haven't won. So, I don't know. And the spectacle that it's become...
I don't know. I think I'd rather have a Mint... Because, I mean, you tell somebody that doesn't follow racing, you know, I've won the Mint 400. And, you know, most people, even the ones that don't follow off-road racing, have heard of the Mint 400.
100,000, Mint 400,
exactly.
Things like that.
It is the...
Telling you on Vegas for Reno, they're like, what?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah. Good point.
But, I mean, you tell them, yeah, I won Parker. That means nothing to them. And I understand that it's
But
not,
I don't do it for them. I do it for me.
I get it. But
I mean, that race has more meaning to me.
But overall, I think the Mint 400 has more meaning to everybody.
Well, it certainly has more prestige.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it's...
Prestige worldwide.
Yeah. It is a rougher course. It is...
It's also 100 miles an hour, 100 miles shorter.
A whole 100?
Well, 426 versus... Three something. Hang on. You got to carry the show now.
All right. I will carry the show. But the Mint did not go so well for us, at least. We had a rental get top five, which was awesome. Travis Williams, nice job. Congratulations. For us, we led early, got out front. We started in the second row and got the whole shot. And I really wanted to catch him by the bridge, and it wasn't.
I saw the video. You could see him.
Oh, you could see him.
Yeah.
They were right there, but we didn't catch him by the bridge.
Right.
And
I told you weren't going to catch him by the bridge.
You did, but I was close.
You were close.
I was close.
So then?
So we go out, and by mile 11, we watch Chris Wardle use his truck and do a gymnastics move with it. Don't know how you got it to do the splits like that, buddy, but we have the whole video of him.
I sent it to him this morning.
Him tumbling.
Yeah.
And we kept going, and we were leading overall by that point, and I believe on time, if not, it was close. Still early in the race, spec class. You can't really tell who's leading until you kind of get to a pit where we can mark where everyone's at. But carried on and led the whole first lap.
Well, I will tell you this. Let me interrupt you and tell you that I do know that you were leading at that point. I talked to Donald about it at Best in the Desert, and the reason why we even got on this subject is because, again, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that the non-turbo UTVs were in fact slower than us. And then they had to say, he did say, now wait a minute, the non-turbo guys, actually, the guy that won it was faster than our fastest guy. So what we had to go back to do was go back and tell him that, well, wait a minute, you're talking about 50 guys that started. You're talking about one guy passed on time, never physically passed our leaders.
Right.
So it was interesting. But I happen to know where we were time-wise for all the laps.
Really? That's pretty interesting. So led all of lap one. Everything was flawless. And come into lap two, and I screwed us. I don't even know what I hit, but I hit something. And what I think happened is a rock got spit up by the front tires and got thrown at the yoke for the where the driveline meets. Excuse me, meets the third member. Cause I don't even remember hitting a rock there. And I clipped a couple with that rear end.
Yeah,
but that was not one of them.
That was the beginning of the end, huh?
That was the beginning of the end. At that point, I think we had about a 5-minute lead. But good for Spitz. Good for Spitz and those guys. This is their third year. Is this our third year? This is our third year. So this would be their fourth year in Trophy Light.
Right.
And this is their first win. So congratulations to those guys.
No, nobody more deserving. The guy's fast. He's got equipment that is clearly not affected by budget. And what I mean by that is that he takes care of that truck, drives it to the best of its abilities, and he's out front doing it. And the truck has Generation 1 lower A-arms. It's got 31 spline axles.
It is
simply amazing.
The oldest truck out there. It is not the oldest truck out there, but it is the least up-to-date truck.
Right,
running out there, and it won.
Yeah,
so
good for those guys. And it led Parker. I mean, it's not like a fluke,
right?
So, and he leads just about everything that he's been in. So,
yeah,
no, that's awesome.
They will be at Silver State. I found out
it's official.
It's official.
Nice. So they are selling the truck, but they don't want to. I know that.
Yeah.
So, So Spitz wins it. Greg Bragg comes back from an early roll.
Yep. He's got a 2-2 so far.
He's gonna be good tough to beat. Corey Winter in third. Ryan Winter in fourth. Travis Williams in the rental, fifth. Jim Rossi sixth. Jason Crabtree was the last of the three lap finishers.
Really? Good for him.
Yeah. And it was really cool because they were up on the stage in between all the trick trucks that were finishing. So that was really cool. So,
wait, are you in between the trick trucks?
Yeah, he finished at night in between the trick trucks of Abdali Lopez and somebody else. I forget who it was.
No.
They were up on the stage. Friggin'
way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he sent me a picture.
They let him out there that long?
Yeah, once you start your third lap, I think it's game on.
All right, cool.
So, you were the fastest of the two lappers, and followed by Elliott, Slavik, and everybody else. So here's something. I did some research based off of Craig Spitz's time. Now, mind you, for the first lap, you had a little bit better pace than Spitz going.
Mm-hmm.
So if that were to be, he did it in 7 hours and 45 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, that was good for 12th in Class 10.
12th? Not bad.
12th place in Class 10. It's also good for 12th in UTV Turbo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive. So, do you know what Todd's time is last year?
No.
Winning the Mint? Spitz said he was 20 minutes slower than Todd.
So, you were on pace with Todd.
With Todd.
Last year.
Yep.
So, interesting. We would have finished 23rd, we being Trophy Light.
Right.
23rd in Trick Truck.
Not bad.
Not bad. Most people would say, you know, hey, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Seventh in 6,100.
Wow.
Top 10 in 6,100.
Top 10 in 6,100.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. Can we put one in it?
How about sixth in class one?
How many class one cars were out there?
A lot. Like 20 something.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Sixth in class one. Here's what's weird to me. We beat all the five cars in Parker.
Yeah, they killed us here.
Yeah, we would have gotten fifth in class five.
That's weird. Hold on. How would we have done in 7,200?
I'm glad you asked that. 7,200, we would have won by 4 minutes.
Wow.
4,400. We're talking Shannon Campbell, Waylon Campbell, Bailey Campbell, Jason Shear.
800-900 horsepower cars.
All-wheel drive class one cars.
Yes.
We would have won by 18 minutes.
Holy cow.
Walked away with it. 18 minutes.
What are the specifications for that class? How do we sign up?
Class 3000, which is the Blaha lights. Okay. None of them did three laps. So we beat them by a full lap.
Right.
Okay. Class 8. Right?
Yep.
The original trophy truck.
Yes.
Trick truck. We would have won by 2 hours and 15 minutes.
2 hours and 15 minutes.
6,200. That's the class one cars with the spec motor in it.
Right. It's an open wheel 6,100 truck.
Yeah.
Rear engine.
Yep. We would have won by 2 hours and 30 minutes. We would have gotten first in UTV Unlimited, 3,000, 7,200, 4,400, class 8, or 8,000, I think is what they call them best in the desert, and 6,200.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
The 7,200 is what I'm impressed with.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of those trucks are like top 10 6,100 trucks.
We would have won that by 4 minutes.
That is impressive to me.
We would have won UTV Unlimited by 5 minutes. 18 minutes, 4,400, 2 hours and 15 minutes, class 8, and 2 hours and 30 minutes, 6,200. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, anyway, the mint was great. Oh, here's a body hanger kit. Apparently that's not where my homework is. Cool.
Wow.
Glad to be home.
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
you excited for Silver State?
I am. I love that race.
Yeah.
I love to chase it. I love to drive it. It's a driver's race. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. I have told just about every trophy light guy out there that this is the race they need to go to. Vegas to Reno, it is the longest.
Vegas to Reno, you do for a challenge.
Yes. Silver State, you do. It is a driver's course.
Yep.
It has everything.
It's the difference between going to Firebird Raceway and Le Mans.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, it's a true driver's track. It,
yeah.
It will exhilarate you. It will challenge you. The views are phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's not that rough.
No, it's not that rough. And I like, as much as I like the rough stuff, and we seem to be pretty fast in it, this is a race that I want to go out there and just obliterate everyone. Because if you can do that here, you can do that anywhere.
Well, if you're my son, you want to obliterate everybody at every race.
Well, I do. But some races...
I got to tell you.
I just want to win. And then this race, I want
to... I felt good about Parker. And you led a lap and a half, or you're up front with the Spitz for a lap and a half.
Yeah.
With the Spitz. I like that. That might be his new name, the Spitz.
The Spitz.
But the mint, I was positive that you were just going to absolutely run away and annihilate, and And first lap, you did exactly what the plan was. Get out front early, set the pace, and just cruise from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going exactly to plan, and then all hell broke loose. And then I feel bad for you, but and this is not a show about us. It's about the show about the sport. But the luck will turn for you, son. It will.
Well, I hope it's Silver State, and if not, I will be claiming my title back for Vegas Torino.
Is that right?
That is my race.
You have such a tremendous hole in the championship. Yeah. How do you do that? I mean, you're going to have to win out.
Yeah, we pretty much need to win out. Or have some really good luck.
Well, we're due, right?
Yeah.
And Greg Bragg has absolutely thrown it in my face because I said he was due. A couple of podcasts ago, I said he was due to kind of get back to his old ways of having mechanical issues halfway through the race while challenging.
Yeah.
And he hasn't.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. We'll see what happens. But Silver State, I want that one. The last, like, 50 miles of that course is the most fun I've ever had in a 1600 car.
Well, the first half is the best race course on the planet.
Really?
Yeah.
You started.
Are you going to go do the pre-run?
I don't think so.
I think you should.
Really?
I really do.
Oh, I don't want to take another weekend off.
I really do.
Just let me go. That's only going to be useful if...
You want to win? Yes, you're right.
Well, no. If I have somebody there who can mark everything down...
You do.
Who?
Whoever goes with you.
Who's going with me?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. But they will be versed in marking everything down.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is, but it's got to happen. There's no sense in going if you don't. Right?
Right, which is... I don't think we need to go to that.
Okay, we'll talk more about it off air because you're wrong.
All right.
What else? Supercross?
Supercross has been...
It's been phenomenal!
It's
been great until this week.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah. We've had some really good racing so far. I'm glad Tomac is back to his couple races in a row, stringing things together. Anderson seems like he's content where he's at in the championship and seems like he's the guy to win. Because if he stays healthy, no one's catching him at this point.
Who are you talking about, Jason Anderson?
Yeah.
Blah.
Yes, I know.
You know what? I used to love the fact that Ricky Carmichael, even as he was a smart racer. I'm not saying that he wasn't. But even with a points title on the way, and I have seen him mail it in a couple of times. But that guy loved to win. And he would push. Even with the title on the line. Jason Anderson is just cruising, and it's disgusting to watch. He's still second place rider. Marvin Muskan he's given up. Justin Brayton's starting to feel a little bit. That's been fun to watch. He won Daytona and then got fourth here.
Got another heat race.
Got
win.
Another heat race win. Weston Pike, the baddest boy on the circuit. He's battling through being banged up. Blake Baggett, probably. Dude, I had a stroke during the break.
Again?
Blake Baggett is probably my biggest disappointment.
Wait till outdoors. He'll swing back around.
Talking Supercross.
He's not an indoor guy, though.
I get it, but everybody's eyes had to get, you know, as big as pizza tins as soon as Eli had problems, and everybody should have gone, I've got a chance to win this.
Yeah. For
and
sure.
Only Jason Anderson stepped up. And it bums me out. You know, Marvin Muskan got hurt. And is Jason Anderson going to go through a down cycle? Is he going to get hurt? Is he going to get...
No, I don't think he gets hurt. Not this year. Next year, I think we're going to see some really good racing.
How can you say that? Eli Tomac is... If Eli Tomac can pull his head out of his ass and not be a head case...
But that's the thing, is he won't. He won't.
Maybe.
I think.
Just another year on that bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have people like Justin Barsha coming back, and you have people like...
Where is Barsha?
He's hurt. He broke his hand when the guy landed
right.
on him.
That's right. Roczen. You'll have Roczen back. Outdoors is going to be fun.
I think Roczen's done.
I don't think so.
I think he'll be back. I don't think we'll ever see him as good as he used to be. I actually thought he was a little bit mentally tougher than what he was when he came back from his hand injury, and he didn't prove to be.
No, not at all.
Brock Tickle's been a disappointment. Dean Wilson's been banged up. Christian Craig coming up from the little bikes to fill in on the Honda. That's been a success story.
Speaking of Honda, they made an interesting point last night as I was watching Supercross. Honda has one win this year, and it was not a factory rider.
Right.
How does that work?
It's been, you know, kind of their MO for the last couple of years. I mean, you look at Kevin Windham wasn't on the factory team. He was on Geico. You look at, you know, they had some early success, or actually some preseason success with Roczen.
Yeah, and he was a shoo-in until he got hurt.
Cole Sheely's never been a success on a Honda.
No, not at all.
Trey Kinnard had some limited success.
So, next question. Who is Yamaha's 450 factory riders? Oh, Webb.
Mm-hmm.
And is that it? Who's Webb's teammate?
No, who filled in? Justin Barsha, who's hurt. They just signed him, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, and now Webb's hurt. So Yamaha has no factory riders out on course right now.
Right. Webb got hurt. Of course, I picked him. Whoever I pick is going to be on the ground.
Okay, I need you to pick Anderson.
Yeah, no doubt.
Every race.
I need to just do that.
Every race. I mean, you're not winning anything in your fantasy league at this
Chad point. Reed, last place.
Chad Reed, please.
Last place. Oh. And yet he's still got a ton of TV time.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this. I was so pissed off watching Supercross about how horrible Jeff Emig is. And Ralph Shaheen's not as bad as Jeff Emig, that I went on to Fox Sports 1 to try and find a comment section so I could absolutely unload on somebody. And guess what? There's no comment section. There's no place to communicate with anybody in Fox Sports 1. So, I'm going to blow the building up or something. I don't know. I don't know. My voice will be heard.
I would not say that too many times to anybody else, just to let you know.
Hey, if I gave you the name of Thomas Ramette,
yeah,
would you know who that was?
No, not at all.
What about Sean Cantrell?
Yes.
You've heard that name?
Yes.
Why? Where from?
Isn't he a dirt bike rider?
Maybe. How about Michael Moseman?
Yes, Dean Wilson's teammate on the Husky.
Okay. Luke Resland.
Another Supercross rider.
Okay. You've heard of all these guys. Have no idea anything about them, right?
No. No clue.
Brandon Hartranft.
That new guy. If you would have asked me that 2 months ago.
Kyle Peters.
No clue. Only reason I know him, dude, is from watching St. Louis. Where did that guy come from?
There's 6 or 7 out of your top 10 from this weekend.
That's top 10?
Yeah, so Zach Osborne, Jeremy Martin, you've heard of those two guys.
Yes, for sure.
Jordan Smith, you wouldn't have heard of up until 4 months ago. Kyle Peters, no idea. Austin Faulkner, Brandon Hartranft, Luke Resland, Michael Moseman, Sean Cantrell, Thomas Ramette.
That's insane.
So, needless to say, there's some fresh blood coming. I can't wait until there is no one person like Eli Tomac that stands out so that the racing gets back to being amazing like it was. But anyway, all good stuff. What else? I'm beat up. I got a quick coughing in this mic.
When are we going riding?
As soon as I have some energy and I can hold my hands up. I rode up to check the mail this weekend and I was worn out. I needed a nap when I got back.
Because Aiden...
Oh, excuse me.
Aiden invited me to go to mile marker 11.
Well, there you go. I think you should.
Yeah. Yeah, that was today. But
what happened?
I needed to rest.
Yeah.
I was not going to take my day of resting.
That's right.
Because then tomorrow I would have needed to rest more, and that would not have happened.
You would have said, I just don't feel rested.
Yeah, I just need one more day.
All right. Diamondbacks getting ready to start. I'm excited. So anyway, enough of that. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will, congratulations to, who won? Bryce Menzies, right? In Mint?
Unfortunately.
And congratulations to him, and congratulations to Eli Tomac, who won Supercross, and congratulations to you, Josh Cobb, for winning the race of life.
I have not won that yet.
No?
No.
Lucas got rained out last week, so they start, what, this week? Regional out here in Arizona?
Yeah, out here in Arizona. Are we going to that?
Yeah, we should probably try and support Luke. And
yeah, I think Jeff asked if I would go to that.
Oh, there you go.
But I know he watches it or listens to this, so I'm going.
What else? Man, he did an amazing job, didn't he? Him and Matt and everybody?
Oh, lifesavers.
Yeah.
Lifesavers. This is not possible without those guys.
Not even close.
Nope.
Not even close. So, all right, man.
Oh.
What?
Hold on. I got to give props, and I got to give a shout-out, though, because I did see on his Instagram story, guess who was out in the shop scrubbing trucks?
Who?
Lauren. Lauren Knupp.
No way.
Yep.
Why? Is soccer over?
I don't know. I don't know.
She's such a great young lady. How she's growing up with those two knuckleheads over there and doing a great job, I'll never know. And by those two, I mean the two boys of the house.
Yes.
Cheryl's obviously got her act together. Hey, what about a shout-out to a longtime listener, first-time caller, Rollin McGee?
No, he doesn't get one.
He got engaged.
This is why he doesn't get one.
Is that right?
Yes.
Because you didn't know about it?
I didn't get to hear it from him. I'm a little butthurt about that.
You should be.
And we lost another one of the boys.
I know. She will wise up before the wedding. We'll get them back. We'll get them back.
Yeah.
I thought that would happen with Alex too, but we didn't get him back. But
no, not yet.
He's on my shit list anyway.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I sent him a picture of your guys' new suit.
Mm-hmm.
And all he says is, cute.
That's...
No, holy shit, that's great. Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Or wow. Or I would have gone for wow, but cute. Bite me.
He doesn't get a suit?
Doesn't get a suit?
Pass it on to the next guy.
Yeah, we'll find the next guy that's 4'8" and and 380 pounds.
Oh my God, he's not 380. I think he's like 378 now.
Yeah, he's losing. He looks good. It's all in his calves.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. What else?
Nothing. I gotta go grab some tires, and then I'm gonna do nothing but relax.
I'm worn out, and we haven't even hit an hour yet in this show.
Good. That sounds like a great day.
Ugh. All right. I'm gonna quit coughing in the mic. Thank you, guys, for putting up with this horrible program. I tried to do it before I got one last cough in, but I couldn't do it. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. We'll get our shit together, I promise. And for now, this is Jason Cobb signing off for Josh Cobb and Vinny out here at the compound. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.